Today we'll have Eugene Rabinovich from University of Notre Dame, who will tell us about classical bulk boundary correspondences via factorization algebras.
Yeah, so thanks for the invitation, Surya, and also the introduction. It's nice to be back around people that I haven't seen in a while. Yeah, I'll be talking about a paper of mine that I put out about a year ago. And this paper is itself, it generalizes what I did with Owen and Brian 2 years before that. So now it's kind of, I didn't quite tailor this exactly to the current audience. There might be some stuff that might be some stuff that's review, so you know, feel free to make me skip those parts or ask questions, tangential questions that come up as I'm talking about it. So my goal is to kind of explain how you can, in the language of factorization algebras, you can rearticulate the basic idea that led Kontsevich to use 2D field theory to quantize Poisson manifolds. So what I think is a bit surprising about that result is that Poisson manifolds describe basically one space-time dimensional. They describe classical mechanics. In other words, they just describe one space-time dimensional systems. And it's somewhat surprising that you get a 2D, the unique 2D field theory to do something which is theoretically just a one-dimensional system. So the way I'll break this down is, first I'll quickly remind people what deformation quantization is, and I'll review factorization algebras, and then I'll kind of combine the two, like explain how deformation quantization can be combined with factorization algebras and how that appears as a shifted Poisson structure on factorization algebras. Then I'll sort of explain, discuss how it comes, these shifted Poisson structures often come from field theory, and then I'll be able to articulate my main theorem, which is the bulk boundary correspondence of the title. So let's say you have a Poisson algebra, which is to say you have a commutative product and a Lie bracket, Poisson bracket. You can ask, what is it? You can make the following definition. Can define a deformation quantization of A that's just going to be an associative H bar linear algebra structure, which is often used the star to denote this. That's an algebra structure on this power series ring in H bar with coefficients in A. And to be a deformation quantization, you require, so H bar linearity tells you that to determine this map, I just need to know what it does on elements with no h-bar powers. And for those things, the product is to zeroth power in h-bar, the commutative product, and the commutator, the star commutator, is to lowest power in h-bar, in this case, first power in h-bar, is the Poisson bracket. That's the deformation quantization. I suspect the audience members here are familiar with this idea. So as a basic example, what you can do is you can take a Lie algebra and take the symmetric algebra on that Lie algebra. So the commutative product is just the product in the symmetric algebra. And the Poisson bracket is induced from the Lie bracket on the Lie algebra. And again, this is just the polynomial algebra of functions on the Poisson manifold G dual. So again, probably familiar. So what you can do is the simple deformation quantization is essentially the universal enveloping algebra of G. So take the free algebra on G, adjoin H bar, and we quotient out by the relation that makes H bar central, and that means that the star commutator is up H bar times the commutator in the Lie algebra. And this is a deformation quantization. And the original A here. You don't win a Fields Medal for doing this deformation quantization, but Kontsevich showed that if you have an A is your algebra of smooth functions on a Poisson manifold, then there exists a deformation quantization of A. And there's a classification of gauge equivalences, classes of deformation quantizations. And already in the formulas of Kontsevich, there are integrals over configuration spaces of points in the upper half plane, which is, you can see even in his work, there's a two-dimensional nature to the quantization, but Cattaneo and Felder gave an interpretation for the product that Kontsevich wrote down, is that it arises from correlation functions in a 2D TFT known as the Poisson sigma model. And again, here's this surprising two-dimensional nature to what should theoretically be a one-dimensional system. I'll pause for questions now. Okay, I'll move on. All right, so, so a reminder on factorization algebra. So, again, maybe it's probably review for most people here. But so if you start with a topological space, you can form a factorization algebra which assigns to each open a cochain complex F of U, and for every collection which is pairwise disjoint, and such that all of them include into V, you get a map from the tensor product into f of v. So yeah, anyway. And there are some natural associativity conditions. And some other things. And I have, normally I draw a picture of the associativity condition, but it's probably not necessary for this audience. All right, so if you have, there's a very standard example. If you have a unital associative algebra, A, in this case, let's take this commutative algebra, this Poisson algebra that we were talking about before. There exists a factorization algebra, which we call, I'll call F sub G1 on R1, defined as follows. So any open subset of the real line is just a collection of intervals, disjoint intervals. So we associate to this collection of intervals the I-fold tensor product here of the copies of A. And the structure maps are determined by the structure of the unital associative algebra. So first of all, the inclusion of the empty set into an interval induces a map from R to A, and this is the unit of A. Then the structure map for the inclusion of two intervals, one into another, is just the identity. And then finally, if you include two disjoint intervals into a larger interval, that's just the multiplication in A. And just as a picture of what's going on, each of these intervals gets associated a copy of A, and then these intervals include into some bigger interval, and the induced map here is just mu, the multiplication in A. All right, so then what we did here is we've encoded the associative algebra structure of sim of G as a factorization algebra. But sim of G is, furthermore, it's a Poisson algebra. So the next question is, how do we encode the Poisson bracket in terms of factorization algebras? And maybe the naive thing you'd say, well, is like, oh, we assign to every open, we just assign a Poisson algebra instead of just a chain complex or a vector space. The problem with that is that the multiplication it's not a map of Poisson algebras. So the structure maps of the factorization algebra don't give us are not compatible with the Poisson structure. So the solution to this is to sort of widen up what is assigned to an open, and instead of assigning the same thing to every connected open, what we're going to do is assign the symmetric algebra instead of on G, we're going to assign the symmetric algebra on the compactly supported forms with values in G shifted down by one. And now this complex here, if U is a connected interval, basically, then this complex is concentrated in degree plus one together with this shift down by one, or rather the cohomology of the complex is concentrated in degree plus one. Together with the shift down by one, this basically reproduces SIMG on cohomology. The nice thing about this object here is that it actually has a Poisson bracket. So there is a quasi-isomorphism. The key fact about this new factorization algebra is that it's not really new. It's the same one as we started with. But this F tilde sub G of U, now it has a Poisson bracket. Of cohomological degree plus one, which is compatible with the factorization algebra structure. So we say that F tilde G1 is a P0 factorization algebra. So P0 here means that the bracket has degree plus one. And Pn means the bracket has degree one minus n. And just as to tell you like what this bracket looks like on degree, if we have just a form, so if alpha is in the form, compactly supported forms on U, X is in G, and same thing with beta and Y, well, that's just going to be alpha. When we take the Poisson bracket, that's going to be alpha wedge beta tensor width the bracket of X and Y. And because of the shifts of everything, this amount, this becomes a degree plus one map. So moving on, the nice thing about what happens once we've introduced this new factorization algebra, there's immediate generalizations that come for free. So there's F tilde sub G N, which is a P0 factorization algebra on Rn. And it's defined in exact with all of the exact same formulas as before, as for F tilde sub G1. It's just that now the open subsets can be open subsets of the Rn instead of just R. And then, like I said before, you have the case sim of G was just the case of the Poisson manifold G dual, and you can replace it with any formal. I don't need to quote formal. Formal Poisson manifold. Poisson has two S's, not three. And you get a P0 factorization algebra on R, which I call maybe F tilde sub V. And then finally, for a non-topological example, so if you have a Lie algebra still, but it has a non-degenerate symmetric bilinear pairing, kappa, you can define a factorization algebra, a P0 factorization algebra on the complex plane associated to this, to these data, which takes the symmetric algebra on the Dolbeau complex compactly supported with values in G shifted down by one. And then the Poisson bracket encodes the same the same kind of formula as I wrote before. And then there's also a term which uses kappa, sort of Katz Moody term. So this is kind of the path to how you might encode the questions of deformation quantization in terms of factorization algebra. And indeed, there's a theorem of a Frankenstein theorem that combines the theorem of Jacob Lurie and Pavel Safronov, that there exists an equivalence of infinity categories between locally constant P0 factorization algebras on Rn and Pn algebras. So the expectation, for example, is that, and this hasn't been worked out explicitly, but to my knowledge at least, it hasn't been worked out explicitly, but the expectation is that this object F tilde sub G n corresponds to the symmetric algebra on G shifted down by 1 minus n, I think. Yeah, it's probably shifted up by n minus 1. Anyway, I think that's the same thing. So, that's kind of, I gave a sort of picture of how you might encode deformation quantization questions in terms of factorization algebras. And this is kind of the conjectural way that this happens. This theorem kind of justifies why this happens. So I'll pause for questions here. Okay, so the next thing is, as we saw, now hopefully I've sort of just justified P0 factorization algebras. I'll talk a little bit about the ways in which P0 factorization algebras arise from field theory. So this was the first way that these came around were in Kevin's work with Owen William on BV theories on a manifold. So there they showed that you get a P0 factorization algebra of classical observables for any BV theory. And this work has had a couple of generalizations since it first came out. So the first was work of Dylan and Phil, Dylan Butson and Phil Sang Yu. So they showed that if you have a Poisson BV theory, which is basically the kind of object which all of the examples we've talked about so far, if you have a Poisson BV theory, you also get a P0 factorization algebra of classical observables. And then finally, in my dissertation work, I showed that if you have a bulk, if you allow your manifold, so I should have said that in the first two cases I discussed, in both of these cases, the boundary of M is empty. Right. So in this case, if you do allow yourself to have a boundary, you can do a similar construction. If you impose boundary conditions on your space of fields, then the picture looks very much like the original story of Kevin and Owens. And you get, again, you get a P0 factorization algebra of classical observables. So there's three different ways to produce these. And I'll kind of summarize this in this chart here. So I have the three variants, vanilla, Poisson, and bulk boundary. And what kind of object the space of fields is, whether or not the equations of motion and the symmetries can be encoded in an L infinity structure, whether or not they can be encoded in an action functional. Oh, and I changed this one. This is just says what kind of spacetime, whether spacetime has a boundary. So it's probably pretty clear from the previous slide, but in this case, you, in the vanilla case and the bulk boundary case, you think of the space of fields as being a minus one shifted symplectic formal derived stack. So vanilla and vanilla and bulk boundary give us shifted symplectic geometry. And the Poisson case gives us a shifted Poisson geometry, as the name suggests. Poisson formal derived stack. So then in all cases, the formal derived stack part basically tells you that, yeah, that's, you can encode the symmetry equations of motion as the more Cartan equations for an L infinity algebra, and the symmetries are the symmetries of the more Cartan equation. And only in the, again, because only in the symplectic cases could you describe the theories as being corresponding to action, like variational calculus for an action functional. In the Poisson case, you would maybe call it a non-Lagrangian theory. And then in terms of boundaries, we went on the previous slide, it was evident that the vanilla and Poisson cases had no boundary in the space-time, and then the last bulk boundary system had a boundary. So something that relates these two notions is something that's discussed in Phil's and Dylan's paper, and I think it comes from the idea of basically Poisson centers. So there's a functor which takes in a Poisson BV theory on a manifold N, and it produces a bulk boundary system. It produces a field theory plus a canonical boundary condition in the on the half cylinder with space slice N. And this is called maybe the universal bulk boundary construction. And I put it in quotes because, like, there's some thoughts about in what sense it is universal, but I don't think it's been shown explicitly. So the notation I use for this is it takes a theory T to what I'll call Z of T. So in the examples that I was thinking of. So we have F tilde sub G N, which is a theory on Rn, and its bulk boundary system is BF theory on the upper half plane. And depends it, the boundary condition sets the A field to be zero. And I don't know if there's a convention about what the name for that boundary condition is. I found myself in disagreement with people about what's called the A boundary condition or the B boundary condition. But anyway, so you also have F tilde sub V, which is a theory on R, and it's the bulk boundary system, corresponding bulk boundary system is the Poisson sigma model. On the upper half plane. And then finally, for this theory on the complex plane with the holomorphic nature, that was Chern, its bulk boundary system is Chern-Simons theory with the chiral WZW boundary condition on the upper half space. So that's some examples of your Poisson theories and their corresponding bulk boundary system. So now I can tell you the main theorem, which is that, so recall we have on N, we can construct the classical observables of some Poisson BV theory. On this upper half space, we can construct the classical observables of some bulk boundary system, Z of T. And what we can do is we can push forward. There's a map, this projection rho, which takes a, which just projects down to the boundary slice, to the T equals zero slice. And we can push forward the factorization algebra on this, along this map. So the theorem from the archive reference that I was telling you about at the beginning is that there is a zigzag of equivalences of P0 factorization algebras. From the push forward to the original thing on the boundary. So in some sense, so the bulk boundary system in two dimensions knows all the information of the P0 factorization algebra on the boundary. So as a P0 factorization algebra, this object has its boundary information, which is encoded in the rho star, its push forward, and has some other information which gets forgotten by the push forward. But the push forward is equivalent as a P0 factorization algebra to the thing on the boundary. And right, and then I should say if there's something in, I'll just say this out loud as to like, actually this is maybe not the version of the statement I prove, but I prove that you have an infinity morphism of P0 factorization algebras between the two. And by infinity morphism I mean Yeah, there's a large cofibrant resolution of the operad which governs these objects, and in this cofibrant resolution, it makes sense to say what is a for algebras over that cofibrant resolution. It makes sense to say what's an infinity morphism, and that's what I mean in this case. So in the case of if n is R, then we had this f tilde of V, which encoded the algebra functions of a Poisson manifold, this formal Poisson manifold V. And here we had the classical observables of the Poisson sigma model. So what it says is that classically, the observables of the Poisson sigma model kind of know everything about the boundary theory. Okay, I'll pause here for questions.
Could you say what this means for Poisson algebras, like PN algebras? Are you saying that if I take the Poisson center and forget like and consider that as a PN algebra, then it's equivalent to the origin? Because this seems
that's the confusing. Yes. Yes. No, I'm not saying you get the so the bulk boundary system is like the pair of the Poisson center and the original algebra. Like that's kind of, but it's encoded in the language of factorization algebra. So like
push forward just forgets the center.
Yeah. Yes, basically. That's the idea. So this is kind of related to a theorem of I think it's Jordan Thomas. Or maybe Justin Thomas. I can't remember his first name, but he was a student of Kevin's actually. And he said he basically showed that like the Hochschild, the deformation complex of an EN algebra is the universal EN plus one algebra sitting in a pair, in a Swiss cheese pair of EN plus one algebra and EN algebras. And so this is kind of like the Poisson center idea as well, where like the factorization, the Poisson center is what happens if you like look away from the boundary and if you look away from the boundary and you sort of take the algebra structure in the normal direction, that's like the usual extra algebra structure that you get on a center. And so that's, so if you restrict it to the interior of this manifold, that you would expect to just get the Poisson center and the boundary information is encodes the original algebra. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think, yeah, I've just missed that there's the boundary end, but it's not like locally constant even there. That's like it's constructible with respect to the boundary.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I can actually summarize some of the things. I have a slide later that kind of summarizes kind of like what's what my conjecture is about what's so universal, in what sense it's a universal bulk boundary system. But it's basically this idea. So the theorem I gave, it suggests the following procedure for quantizing Poisson BV theories. And this is, I haven't shown this, it's something I would want to show, but sort of haven't. But the idea is it's basically what Kontsevich did for the Poisson manifolds. So if you have a Poisson BV theory on N, you can take the bulk boundary system on the cylinder. And then you can study quantizations of the classical observables of the bulk boundary system. And there that's kind of the work of my thesis. There are some tools for that. And then finally, you would just define the quantum observables of the Poisson BV theory to be the push forward of the quantum observables of the bulk boundary system. And that's, I think, some way of rephrasing what Kuncevich did, at least for the 2D theory. And now something that's I often get asked at this point is like, why is it easier to go into an extra space-time dimension with this bulk boundary system? Like, how does that help you solve the problem? Well, I think at least that it has to do with essentially the fact that you have a Darboux theorem for symplectic structures, which is what the bulk boundary systems are, whereas you don't quite have that kind of theorem for the Poisson structures on the boundary. So like it's much easier to sort of it's not as much work to define the like BV Laplacian, for example, which is something you want to do in the BV quantization story. So then I want to answer the question of like, what's universal about the universal bulk boundary system? So a result that I just mentioned, is this theorem of J. Thomas, if A is an EN algebra, then the center of A, which you can the Hochschild cohomology of A, that's the universal EN plus one algebra appearing in a Swiss cheese pair over A. So it's the universal EN plus one algebra acting on A. So to rephrase, is a little bit in terms of Poisson P0 stuff, I want to conjecture that the classical observables of the bulk boundary system, that's the universal factorization algebra on N cross the half line, such that, well, the first thing is that like Lucas said, it's constructible along along the time direction. So it's like locally constant in the interior, and then there's at near the boundary you get something different. So this idea here is like saying that you basically have a pair of a Poisson algebra in the, like an algebra in P0 factorization algebras on the you basically, to be constructible along this thing, you might want to say that that's like saying you have, an algebra in P0 factorization algebras on N, and then a module for that algebra in P0 factorization algebras on N. And then the second thing is that it's the push forward of this thing is equivalent. Is equivalent to the original thing. So that's my conjecture for what role this universal enveloping algebra, universal bulk boundary system should play. And then, yeah, I had. Just wanted to close with a couple of future directions and more current research. So the main thing is I'd like to have some tools actually to address the previous conjecture that I talked about using techniques from operand theory. So the so there is an operad governing prefactorization algebras, and there's an operad governing P0 prefactorization algebras. So there's two operads. I call them maybe P0 Dij M and Dij M. So these are the operads governing factorization algebras. So one question to ask is there a simple cofibrant resolution of either of these? I mean, I'm mostly interested in the P0 one, but as a start, what about Dij M? So with Najib Idrisi, we are in the process of writing up an affirmative answer to the case for Dij M, so it's regular prefactorization algebras. And then once you have such a theory, you can ask what is the deformation theory of a given algebra. Operand theory gives you these tools. That's what I would be interested in understanding more in the future. Okay, I'll stop here. So thanks for listening.
Thanks, Eugene.
Yeah, thanks, Surya.
Are there any questions for the speaker?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah. Hi, Kevin.
Hi Eugene, thanks for the talk. Are you planning to look at the colored operad, this gem, in just the locally constant case? Because one can ask similar questions in the non-locally constant case too.
Yeah, so no, the work is to do in the non-locally, the general case.
Right.
So it works in general. We have a cofibrant resolution of this object.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, it's, Owen and I were looking for this, but we hadn't got very far.
Yeah, it's you can more or less use Kazul theory for it. So it's a bit complicated to describe, and it basically a lot of what's in it is it comes down to whether or not you consider multiplicativity as so ours are the resolution we describe is for non-multiplicative factorization algebras. In other words, the tensor product doesn't necessarily get assigned to the union, to the disjoint union.
I see. So that there's a map, but you don't require its an isomorphism.
No. Because that isomorphism is a little bit hard to encode as the.
Yeah. I think your approach is correct, because if you're doing deformation theory, being an isomorphism is an open property anyway.
I see. So you're saying you don't want to consider, like, you could perturb multiplicative factorization algebra slightly, and it would be non-multiplicative.
So you could perturb it slightly using the non-multiplicative operand, but it would still be multiplicative automatically.
Oh, I see. It's an open condition. I see. Yeah. Okay. I see. So then it doesn't really matter whether if you start with a multiplicative thing and you only care about deformation theory. Yeah, that's interesting.
So can you use your cofibrant resolution to write down the tangent complex, right? The deformation complex, like the analog of the Hochschild cohomology?
In theory, yes. So like if you have, let's say you have an operad of the form, which is cobar times some cooperat. So that's the form that this resolution takes. Then, and you have a, like, let's say you have an omega C algebra, let's say A, then you, in theory, you can write down, but we haven't worked out what exactly it, it's just, I haven't made sense of it. Like, you can write it down, you just don't know what it is, but it's the Hom in the category of S modules from C into the endomorphism operat.
Right.
So like there's the general theory gives that to you.
Based on some examples, you can make a guess for what it is if you start with the commutative factorization algebra. Like there should be an analog of the Hochschild-Cosson-Rosenberg theorem.
Yes, that's what Owen and I were talking about.
Yeah.
It's an interesting question because. So it's just an interesting question because the factorization algebra operad, it's sort of something between the associative and commutative operads. Like, if you think about the factorization algebra associativity condition, it's actually kind of a commutativity condition because it's kind of agnostic about the order in which you write your. So that's kind of been kind of a conceptual thing that's kind of tripped me up. So I'm not quite sure what to say about the commutative. Like, if you start with a commutative factorization algebra, I guess, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the candidate for the theory, like the object, like the polyvector fields would be. necessarily.
Like if you start with like symmetric algebra on compactly supported sections of something.
Yeah.
I think there's something very like the usual HKR formula. Where you take
something like that. Yeah. I guess you could construct that object. I think I understand that bit where you would take like the Verdier dual and take polyvector fields with that Verdier dual kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that would be the guess.
Yeah. So the question is like, because of this strange, this weird thing where the object is somewhere between, the factorization algebras is somewhere between commutative and associative algebras, it's like hard to say for me for sure, like what this, I don't know how to say it the right way. Yeah, but that would be very interesting to pursue, to like figure out whether that holds in this case. But we didn't write it down explicitly yet.
Seems hard, but it's...
Yeah, it's like hard to write down the operat itself is this cofiber resolution. It's not, it's smaller than the like bar cobar resolution, but it's still somewhat clunky to work with. That would be kind of next steps.
More questions? Well, if there are no more questions, we should thank Eugene again for a wonderful talk.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Thanks, Eugene.